To quote Francis Ford Coppola, "I think cinema, movies and magic have always been closely associated. The very earliest people who made films were magicians." That makes the people who made Madame Web the kind of people that you'd see on the Goes Wrong show.
Yes.
I'm Mike.
And I'm Darren.
And this is Popscorn.
Strap yourself fucking in.
Welcome to Popscorn, the failed entertainment.
Immediate spoiler alert, everybody. Just let's face it, if you were going to see this movie, you'd have seen it by now. Yep. I imagine that's 5% of the audience. The other 95% are just here for morbid curiosity.
Y'all are straight out. None of you care about the people. None of you care except the people who know what this is.
Let me tell you right now, you know the plot of this movie, whether you see this movie or not.
Yeah.
The trailer gave
every mortal beat away.
Everything away.
This is a trend with Sony trailers, right?
Yes.
Of just, here's a shot from the final sequence of the movie.
There is not a scene in this entire movie that didn't have at least one shot from it taken and put in a trailer.
Yep.
I have absolute zero, like...
It is the best way to watch Madame Web.
Actually, that's a good point.
It's over quicker.
It's over in 3 minutes.
Yeah. Actually, is it, though? Because I got to tell you, we had a great time.
This is the thing,
one of
right?
the best nights of the year so far.
I will tell you now, straight off the bat.
Yep.
Legitimately,
yep.
This is the worst movie ever made. It's the worst movie I've ever seen.
It's incredibly incompetent.
But? It's not my least favourite movie.
No.
Because I had a wonderful time watching this movie.
I want to do something in the course of this podcast. I want to create a measuring scale. Bad movies, and I'm gonna get it up on Google in a minute. I'll create like a bell curve that I can only refer to as like the Diane Warren curve of bad movies, because she's always the thing that makes me watch bad movies.
She didn't make a song for this, did she?
She didn't make a song for this. That would have, could you imagine,
right?
Oscar nominated Madame Web.
Yeah,
it the words feel wrong.
I'd have done it for the lols.
But yeah, like on one side of this scale,
yes,
would be movies that are not the best, but you kind of like. So like, what's a film that's kind of a little bit shit, but I like a lot? I don't know, like most Will Ferrell films.
Right.
Like some of them.
Godzilla 98.
Godzilla 98. Objectively a bad movie, but you enjoy it.
I adore that movie so much.
So that's like on the bell curve. That's like left-hand side.
Yes.
Like could be approaching quality with some rewrites, but like
not
actively
isn't. You still like it.
And then as you move down and the quality goes down, it's like you're entering movies that are objectively bad, but you still find some merit in. This is where I imagine the Borderlands movie will be.
Right, okay.
Objectively terrible, but I love that franchise.
Yes.
And then you get down to the trough, which is just objectively, abhorrently bad movies.
This is where I would put what is my least favourite film of all time, Assassin's Creed.
This is where
that would sit.
Phantom Thread, White Noise, Death Note, they're all in the fucking mire.
And then
something starts to happen
as
you ascend the right-hand curve of the Warren scale.
Yes.
Where... it's still terrible, if anything, worse.
Yes.
But the charm or something about the experience that you have.
You can't hate it.
It pulls it out. This is where Venom, Let There Be Carnage, Fant4Stick, and Madame Web are all on that scale. And then
Don't forget 300 Rise of an Empire.
Rocks! Rocks! Perfect. So there's that. And then that's when you start to climb the scale, and then you start getting like objective movies that were objectively made bad on purpose.
Yes.
So like The Room kind of tops out. Like that. Like it's a very... Well, actually, no, because you kind of... It starts circling back to good movies when you get into like parody movies. So like Popstar Never Stop Never Stopping is objectively a shit movie because it's meant to be shit.
Yes.
And that's what makes it great. Or Orgasmo, or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. This, on the
Basketball.
Other hand, This is the maddening thing about this movie.
Mm.
It was made for no one.
Yep.
Made by nobody of any real importance or portent.
Yep.
And has got on to do nothing. The complete lack of anything needs to be studied for science. Yeah. Like, this is a black hole if ever there was one.
Warner Brothers are writing off movies people want to see.
Yeah.
Sony are just doing this.
Meanwhile, they're like, oh yeah, we created like antimatter in the Hadron Collider. It was called Madam Web.
Oh my God.
Chiefly because
yes.
It is fronted by the worst actor alive
yes.
today.
Yes.
I will not hear any arguments that the script let her down or anything else let her down. No, her actual ability at what she tries to do has let Dakota Johnson down.
Yes.
Nepotism, baby, ad nauseum.
Yep.
The queen of them all.
Yep.
Because what does she do?
What is Dakota Johnson?
What is Dakota Johnson?
Dakota Johnson's a feeling, a place. She's not an actress, I'll tell you that much.
No. Like, I've tried, you may not believe this from listening to her podcast, but I've tried to be less harsh on people. Of like, I try and see if they're making acting decisions.
Yes.
Or it's bad script, or there's some other thing at play. Them as a person, not bad.
Yes.
However, Dakota, that being said, Dakota Johnson chooses this to be her line of work.
Yes.
And therefore opens herself up for any level of criticism that can allow.
She would have made a wonderful accountant. An Bang excellent up. HR assistant.
If she wanted to go into actuary work, perfect. You don't know what an actuary is, do you?
Not a Scooby.
They're the people that pension fund people hire to basically figure out when all their members are going to die.
Okay.
So that's what they do.
Yeah.
She'd been great at that.
Absolutely wonderful.
But she's chosen to become an actor.
Yep.
That's like me choosing to become a basketball player. Like, I can want it as much as I want. It ain't gonna fucking happen.
It's like you choosing to be a basketball player or me choosing to be Brian Tyree Henry. We share nothing in common.
Like, I really want to be in the Harlem Globetrotters, specifically the Harlem Globetrotters. That's what I want to do.
I would like to be in a number of movies, including the series Atlanta.
Yes, please.
That's what I've decided will be my career progression. Yes. Dakota Johnson is, you know, I can't believe I'm going to invoke Little Britain here.
Where's this going?
You know the guy who comes in looking for the pirate memory game and all that? They iterated on that character yes. several times. I'm looking, you know, it's a dating thing. I'm looking for somebody who's about here to here
yes.
called Samantha.
Yes.
Like, that's... She's gone, I would like to be the actress that's in all of the popular movies. Yes, please and thank you. Give me the roles.
Popular is a strong word. She was in 50 Shades of Grey.
Which was popular, if shit.
Well, that's it. She was well cast in that movie, I've been told, because the character that she plays is a boring fucking secretary. Yeah, nailed it, lads. Good job.
Yeah, complete feckless idiot with no personality. Yeah, that's... What was her name? Something Steele?
I don't
Who
know.
Who cares?
And has now pivoted that into... Well, I'd say that was the thing that launched her. The fact that her dad is Don Johnson has launched her.
Got nothing to do with it at all, has it, lads?
She's... I can't say hand on heart I've ever watched a Dakota Johnson movie all the way through, but I've been in the room where they've been on.
I've watched a Dakota Johnson movie, but a movie Dakota Johnson was in, and that yes. was Bad Times at the El Royale.
How was that?
She was the worst thing in that movie, but it was an otherwise okay film.
Always is. And let me tell you now, she finds new levels of bad in this entire fucking movie. She has no way of inflecting emotion.
Every line is a new meme waiting to happen. It's like a stew. It is rich.
Oh, yes.
But like a stew made of gravel and crap.
It's
incredibly rich and dense, but every bite of it is the worst thing you've ever tasted. This is not a good film. If you hadn't guessed, we don't... Go and see Madam Web.
Watch it under the right circumstances.
Do what Eddie Burback did for Morbius, which is buy tickets for a better movie and then sneak into the shit one. He bought five... He made a movie where he's like, I'm going to go and watch Morbius every day this week. So he bought tickets for Everything Everywhere All at Once and snuck into Morbius every day for a week.
This is worse than Morbius.
It's worse than Morbius. I didn't know it could be worse than Morbius.
Morbius
was boring as fuck and kind of bad, apart from one glorious Matt Smith dance scene.
It's not glorious.
It's wonderful.
We're moving on from the Matt Smith dancing scene.
No, we're not.
We never are.
But the thing is, like, this movie is like the Matt. It's like they looked at the Matt Smith dance scene and went, "Oh, they want a movie of that, right?" And then fucked that up somehow. My Christ!
Who is this for?
I don't know. Like, you've got to look at the cross section of people that were in our screening. All six of us, and you included.
Yes.
So me and you.
Yes.
There was another couple of I'd say late 20s, early 30s males who looked very nonplussed about the whole thing. And then what I can only assume were two kind of menopause age women who saw a movie poster with five women on it, saw Madam Web and thought, intrigue. This will be the thing that, we've not, since having children, we've not really reconnected all that much. We should start getting in touch more often. We should start going out more often, And then, we're going to have a lovely time. We're going to get an ice cream. We're gonna get a nice pick and mix bag. And we're going to enjoy this movie about strong women.
Yes.
And then they watch Madam Web two rows in front of us. And I had what I can only assume was the worst fucking time.
And we were not helping matters.
We were not helping matters at all.
I feel like our volume was fine, but we were laughing when we were. And just to put people in mind, of the day I'd had leading up to this movie.
Yep, yep.
I'd had a shit house of a day. Work had not been great. Just a lot of work to do. And I was like, I'm at least going to get a KFC and see My Friend Mike before I see objectively terrible movie. Yep. Don't think I went into this many aspersions this was going to be good.
Oh, no, we knew. We knew.
And I drove past a KFC and I thought, no, I'm going to go to the one nearest the cinema on the same business site as the cinema.
Yep.
That's where I'm going to go. Mm-hmm. Now, it had been raining that day, but not enough to me to go, oh, it's raining?
Yeah.
It's coming down out there. Just, no. It was raining.
Just standard British weather.
Pulled up at the KFC. I looked at no one in there. Thought, oh my God, I'm going to get straight to the fucking front.
Excellent.
Here we go. Walked up, door locked, big old sign. Due to inclement weather conditions, we're not open today.
Yes, the rain spooked the fryers.
So you came in to me sat there eating cinema chicken tenders and nachos just going, this is my day. I don't even need to tell you. This is what it's culminated in. It's not about to get better.
You were proud of none of the decisions that led you to where you were.
Absolutely fucking not.
I found you in one of the deepest mires I think I've ever seen you in.
Yeah. Thank you for getting me out of it by indulging this movie with me. speaking of bad decisions, why is Adam Scott here? He's in good. He's on that thing in Apple TV that everyone
Severance,
loves.
Severance
is meant to be
Severance
brilliant.
Is really good. Surprisingly excellent.
Why is he here?
Yeah.
He's playing Uncle Ben.
Yeah. Adam Scott was in Parks and Rec.
He was. He has good choices.
Who's he in Parks and Rec again? Let's remind ourselves of something
Ben
good.
Wyatt in Parks and Rec. He's just default low energy Adam Scott.
Yep.
I think he clearly knew that this was not destined to be what he was known for. So
I think he saw, I imagine. Now, have you seen the famous Adam Scott video of when he says he invited Luke Skywalker to his birthday party?
Yes.
Adam Scott's a nerd.
Adam Scott is a nerd.
Adam Scott has clearly not been called up for any Marvel property before now.
No.
And then just went, would you like to be Uncle Ben? And he's I will take what I can get.
There is no Spider-Man in this movie. Oh, I've made a mistake. But he doesn't
What do you mean, Sony?
Yeah.
What's a spunk?
Oh, there is an absolute, almost, I'd say 50-50 chance that Dakota Johnson thought she was in an MCU movie.
I've read that that's what everybody thought that they were going to enter some kind of spider and or multiverse.
Yes, and because she said, I talked to Elizabeth Olsen and she said, yeah, you're going to love joining, doing superhero movies. So she clearly thought she was joining them.
Oh, and the story about the trailer came out and she immediately dropped her management.
Completely swapped agencies then and there. Sorry, up to and including the one I showed you before the Ironclaw. Go listen there on fanentertainment.com if you're posted in that order.
Yes.
Where I had to show you, I had kept a trailer on my phone.
Oh, yes, you
for
had.
For 3 or 4 hours at this point. The worst trailer ever made.
Yep.
It was a scene from the movie where Dakota Johnson, in her nurse job, was given a picture by a kid who's mom she'd saved.
Mm.
And she goes, oh, thanks. What do I even do with this? And Adam Scott goes, just fold it up and put it in your pocket. And then Dakota Johnson goes, it's cardboard. I can't even.
This is really hard to fold.
Madam Web. I was like,
we did 20 takes.
And that was the, like, they, Of all the clips in this movie, we're only going to put it one as like a TikTok reel. What's the one? That's the one. That'll get the people in.
Nothing sells our character more than hating children and not being able to fold paper.
Right.
We had the best night.
Just a bit more critical of Adam Scott. Like, he doesn't give Uncle Ben energy.
No.
He gives Adam Scott energy. So...
Sorry, there might be a little bit of background noise on this one because in a very fitting tone, I have a small sleeping dog on my lap.
That's how I would have preferred to watch this movie.
She's Sparko out, and I kind of wish I was too.
Yeah, at several points, I was heading my hands going, I can't do this, Michael. If you weren't there, this is me and Rachel, this would be the first movie I've ever walked out of.
This was our norm.
I really was.
You weren't there, man.
Because I said to Rachel, like, she was like, why do you go and watch it? I was like, do you remember the first time you met Michael Owen?
Yeah.
No. It was when we watched Fantastic. That was the last time there was such hype going to me. Me going in knowing,
it's going to be a pile of shit.
It's going to be an abomination and I'm fucking here for it.
This is where it's interesting where it lands on the Warren scale, which I'll put on Twitter later on. where it is, because, like, you know how Venom was shit?
Yes.
And Venom 2 was categorically worse.
Yes.
But was way more enjoyable because of how bad it was.
Yeah.
I reckon I could get through a rewatch of Venom Let There Be Carnage.
Yes.
Because I know that eventually he's going to start talking about smelling like ham.
Yes.
And that's just funny.
Yeah.
And then there's this, and I'm like, I genuinely had the greatest time and I have zero desire to watch another second of this film.
I don't think we could replicate it. This is the thing.
No.
But I would, given the option, I would rather watch this again than Fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's just...
Fantastic's just depressing.
It really is. This is at least so bad that it's fucking hilarious in several points. Speaking of, right, more people who made bad decisions.
Yes.
Sydney Sweeney.
The other of the unsightly twins.
There's just something unsettling.
Yep.
She...
Seeing her in a Catholic schoolgirl outfit for most of the movie.
Yeah.
Equally unsettling.
A positive.
Mm.
I feel like, of everybody here, she was the one that was approaching having a character.
Yes.
However, that character was, when she takes off her glasses, she is less sheepish.
Yes. That's the character.
That's what we're going to dine out on here, lads. That's as good as it gets in terms of deep... three-dimensional characters.
They have a lore dump scene for all three of the girls. I cannot tell you a fucking thing that was said there. I went, the shy one, the rebellious one, and the Hispanic.
Yeah.
Those are their characters. Literally, I really... No bad word against Isabella Merced.
Yes.
But, like, that was her character.
Yes.
Her character was Hispanic.
Yes.
There was nothing else there.
I know she can be charismatic because she was Dora the fucking Explorer.
Yes.
Like, I know she can do stuff, but, like, I fully, however, had absolutely zero to work with outside of an I eat maths for breakfast t-shirt. That was her character.
I forgot about the fucking
she
t-shirt.
Knows numbers.
She how knows numbers. That? They have a maths discussion for all of 20 seconds in the movie.
Oh.
It's the most, like... Written by somebody who was auditioning to write for the Big Bang Theory
Yes, yes, exactly fucking that.
But, like, not good enough to write for the Big Bang Theory.
No.
Which is saying something, because I fucking hate the Big Bang Theory.
I knew that wouldn't be a show for you.
No.
I mean, I have seen all of it, but that's largely because my brother and dad liked it, and Rachel kind of likes it. Celeste O'Connor, I must admit, I have not wrote anyone's down, anybody's character's name.
Hang on, can I do this? Sydney Sweeney was playing Spider-Woman.
Yes.
But I can't do the name. Oh, Jesus Christ, Jessica something?
Julia Carpenter?
Julia Carpenter, thank you.
Well, then this is Julia Cornwall for some reason.
Who knows? Who fucking knows? What's even worse is that I watched a video about her and she was like, I begged them to give me an upside down shot.
Yes.
Because in every comic book, Julia's hanging upside down. And she says, Julia Carpenter?
Yes.
That's not the character's name in the movie.
Julia Cornwall.
So you've got Isabella Merced who plays Anya Corazon.
Yes.
Now that is actually the name.
Yes.
I don't know what that character plays. Is she... Aranya and also Spider-Girl.
Yes.
And then you've got Celeste O'Connor playing Matty Franklin, who in the promotional material appears to be playing quite a demure character.
Yes.
And then goes on to basically play Spider-Punk.
Yes, basically.
Who is also a Spider-Woman. Yes. So it's three Spider-Women. And none of them have any character.
No. It's at the start of something. But, and I think if this was, this would have worked better if this was just a mass Spider-Woman origins movie. No Madam Web whatsoever. Just do that and they actually become those Spider-Women at the two-thirds way point. That would have been more serviceable. Mm. All those pictures and all that thing in the trailers of showing you in their costumes. Some total of time in the costume in this movie.
Yep.
Sub 30 seconds.
Yep. Yep.
Mate, that may even be being generous.
It is entirely a flash forward.
Two flash forward scenes. Is all we get.
Yep.
Of the very, her saying, I always wanted to be upside down.
Yep.
Sydney Sweeney is upside down for a fraction of a fucking second.
It's so fucking awful. Like, you're being sold the triple threat origin story of three dangerous spider women and their kind of fucking weird mum.
Yes.
And it is not that. It is like sub Final Destination 3 shit.
Yeah.
And I quite liked Final Destination 3. Yes. And even I recognise it's fucking ridiculous.
Yes.
Of just, oh no. Oh, we have to talk about Tahir Rahim in a second.
I was about to say.
I really liked. I want to preface by what we're going to say about Tahir Rahim with me saying, I really like Tahir Rahim in everything else he's been in.
Not this.
In The Serpent, he is wonderfully, like he's just the living embodiment of Stockholm Syndrome. And he's seedy and he's mysterious. And he's like, he's got this kind of like weird gruff shit going on.
Yeah.
And then he comes, when his whole world collapses, you see him as this wormy little shit. It's such a good performance. And in The Mauritanian, he's wonderfully warm for somebody who has to go through some of the worst shit that humanity has ever done to anybody. And really gives weight to the shit that happened in Guantanamo Bay. You get a wonderful payoff of his, you know, arc through that movie. And then he overdubbed every line of dialogue in Madam Web. And I can't. What happened during the shoot that meant every single line that he speaks is ADR? Every single line.
No, that might sound hyperbolic, but no, genuinely every single line is being read up. Because this thing, I was like, well, good news. You know, if you're worried about Tahir Rahim being in this movie, he kind of isn't. He's there in body, but he very much is not there in mind or spirit.
Nope.
Because
he's checked the fuck out.
Do you think he had a broken microphone? And it's only when they got to post and went, oh, fuck. What, not a single word of dialogue has been recorded?
We've been recording for 3 months. How was... hi, Tahir. Great job. I'm glad you've enjoyed the rap party.
Yeah.
Listen, mate. Bit of a problem. We're going to need you to come back tomorrow. And the next day. And the next day. And the next... What the fuck was the point? Is it that... Do you think that they got him doing an accent that people couldn't understand?
Yeah.
Do you think it was slightly racist? Do you think it was fucking boring? They tried to spice it up with basically Diet the Serpent.
Right. I think, well, one, they were probably like, well, that phone call was like, well, what we've done is we've booked you 2 hours in the third best booth at the local studio recordio in Alabama. So if you can get down there, we can probably get it in one take, lad. You don't want second takes? Nah, you're so good. You'll get it on the first one, lad. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry. My brother Ricky works down at Best Buy and he's let us borrow one of the streaming mics.
Should be fine. I think it was plot. I think he was obviously doing something else.
Mm.
And in post, they had to change all of that.
Every single
line.
Because,
like, his plot is that it's not really well explained what his motivations are, what he knows, or what he does. He works with Madam Web's mom in the Amazon finding these rare-ass spiders, right? This is established at the start of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's not known how he knows about these spiders in order to then steal one. It doesn't know if he just found it on the fly and just took his chance, etc., etc., etc. They don't bother going into that, which makes me think maybe originally he was like, so in the Justice League movie, you had what's his name? Wolfenstein.
That's a great question. Steppenwolf.
Steppenwolf. Mm. But he was the pawn of Apocalypse.
Yes.
I was like, is the not Apocalypse, what's his name?
Darkseid.
Darkseid. Is this a case of they had Morlun, but they cut Morlun entirely, and they then had to, like, well, we're not really going to give the backstory to why Ezekiel Sims is doing the things he's doing. Mm. We're not going to explain why he's fucking barefoot. We're not going to explain how he can quick change into a shitty Spider-Man costume.
Oh, CW's the Spider-Man.
That's the one.
It really is like first season of The Flash. Costume.
It's so shit.
Yeah.
So that's my only explanation for why he has to do it. So anyway, he gets the powers, and then he's worried because he has a vision, which he can do apparently, that these three spider women are going to nick his spider and chuck him off a balcony like the comedian. Like, that's in his future. And he's going to stop that, and he's banging an NSA agent in order to get the technology to track people.
Yeah.
That's a lot of that me being inferring said, that
yes.
into it.
Yes.
Oh, we
because otherwise it's just a dude who wants to not be near three girls and then chooses the best way of not being near three girls is to murder them, despite the fact he has no idea what they look like.
This is a really remorseless movie, by the way. Dozens of people die and no one gives a shit in the main cast.
Yep. Yep.
Like, an entire helicopter full of people blows up at the end, and there's no focus on it.
No. Nope.
It blows up in the background. People have just been burnt in a fireball, but oh no, Sydney Sweeney might fall off this small ledge.
It's somehow not the most outlandish thing that either happens, is said, or is shown to you in this movie.
No, because just from the second, like, the point at which you knew this was going to be terrible happens very early on.
Oh, yes.
You lost your shit. We're in the Amazon.
It's the new... It's the new Matt Smith dance. It's the new thing. Guys, we've got a replacement.
We're in the Amazon, right? And they found this spider, which again, flies in the face of all Spider-Man lore that there's just a bunch of these things in the Amazon, right?
Yep.
Special spiders that give you powers. And Ezekiel Sim nicks it off of Madame Web's mom, shoots her. She's dying, even though she's heavily pregnant.
Oh, the best reaction to being pregnant of all time in that movie is like, I just need to get the whore! Like that.
Ooh, you bastard!
Briefly turned into a fucking snooker player. It was unreal. So you get that. And then. So after fucking Tahar Rahim ADRs his way out of the Amazon.
Yeah.
And then you've got a dying pregnant Mrs. Madam Web.
Yeah.
I can't even do it.
And then I got you. Then the spider people. Spider people just come out of nowhere.
It's the crawl.
Filmed like it's the 1960s Batman show for some fucking reason.
It's the crawl down the tree, the quick cut edit crawl down the tree, and then just do descending with a fucking staff.
So they're dressed like primordial Spider-Men, basically.
They look like they've covered themselves in glue and run headfirst at a spirit of Halloween. They look fucking dreadful.
It does. And this is a costume. I thought, is that what they look like? They're all dyed their skin red and wear these, like, fucking, I don't know, like, shit gimp costumes. No, that's an actual costume that they choose to wear.
And then the most... Have you seen the video Late for Meeting?
No.
I'm going to show you Late for Meeting and how the character moves in that.
Okay.
Because it's very key to understanding. If anybody's seen Late for Meeting, you will understand completely how the spider people move. I'm just going to get it. You don't need sound. Late for... Meeting.
I hope. Please don't be the Matt Smith dancer, or I will throw my phone at your head.
No, it's not the Matt. That would be very funny. But this is exactly how he moves, isn't it?
Let's have a look. See, that is exactly how they move. Yeah, like a what's that one where Q-op where he used the Olympic sprinting one, right?
How they have this shot of him like dashing, jumping through the trees. It looks like this rubber man.
That's a better CGI than Madam Web was able to afford.
It's better. I've got to tell you, the cinematography in Late for Meeting far exceeds Sony's multi-million dollar Madam fucking Web movie.
So they... Right. We're doing spoilers. It's fine.
Who gives a fuck? It's bad.
Shit. And they are there, and they actually help Madame Web survive being shot in the head as a as an unborn fetus. Yeah. And somehow she gets to America. That bit skipped over how she went from the Amazon jungle.
You skipped over how spiders cure death.
Spiders can cure death. Did you not know?
Yeah. Oh no, I'm bleeding out. Spider bite.
Spider bite.
That'll sort you out. It's we didn't know it at the time. But it would be a setup for one of the lines of all time. One of
the lines. Right. First of all, the webs.
The webs. Oh, it's the new thing. Every shot is a web.
And you watch, what's the Jim Carrey one? It's like
the number 23.
Yeah. And like the number 23 is hidden everywhere.
Yeah.
There are webs everywhere in this movie, with none of the subtlety of number 23. There's a web on the poof. There's a web on the thing. When the pigeon hits the window, it creates a web.
Don't remind me of the fucking pigeon.
The pigeon of life and death. Life and destiny.
Yeah, so the webs is now a thing.
Every 10 seconds, me and Mike would just go, the webs, with its own hand gesture and everything.
Yeah, it's like a
butterfly,
yeah.
But you spread your fingers out
and you do the webs. You wiggle. The webs.
Oh, God.
I want to point out, right, we have spoken for half an hour. We have covered maybe 5 minutes.
Maybe five minutes tops. So... oh, to give it some level of plot, I guess. So she's a paramedic and a shit one who hates her life. Yep. And she lives alone with this cat and says, the strays have got to stay together, right?
And then Uncle Ben has a hot date with...
oh.
There we go. Yep.
Yeah, we don't say, do we?
He does not say. This one's cute. What's her name? Stony fucking silence. Oh, like they were eventually going to lead up to, like, I don't know, Aunt May's in a fucking biker gang or some shit.
I got lied to, by the way. Mm? I was told it had a fanfastic ending where I reckon we should call him something with P. Wait a minute, did you say P? And then it would cut.
Yeah.
Because Peter Parker is born at the end of this movie.
I leaned over and did a gag.
Yes, you did.
He was like,
yes, you did.
Well, we've got to give him something, you know, a strong name, because you just don't want him to peter out. What did you say?
Fucking pissed me. So she's a paramedic. She's not very good. She's in this car.
She gets a drawing.
She's in this car. It gets chucked into the river and she goes.
That would have been the end of the movie in a better timeline. There you go.
Off we go. She then, this activates her powers.
Somehow.
She got from the spider bite when she was in the womb. Mm. That she can see, basically she's got Final Destination powers. She can see the alternative realities of how that goes. Now, how the powers, why they reacted at that point, what they can actually do they require her to die in order to relive the past? Because that's an interesting storytelling device. Not for this movie.
No.
But it could be used in the hands of literally anybody else who's better. This could have worked.
I'm not even mad at the idea of doing, like, because, like, we've had plenty of time travel superhero movies now.
Yeah.
Do one of those. We haven't really had a proper horror superhero movie outside of, like, what they thought they were doing with the New Mutants, but then they didn't do with the New Mutants. No. All right, give that a go. And this just chooses to be, like, the it is your destiny middle ground. And it's so fucking boring.
I would describe it as a prequel to a shit. It's that bad. It's a prequel to a mediocre mid-2000s superhero movie.
I would describe it as an excuse to reuse footage so that they could cut down on the filming days. New York's getting hella crazy right now.
The closing shot is literally taken from Spider-Man 2.
I saw that. Yes. The zoom
the
up
zoom
that
up
building.
They just reused footage from 2004.
Yep. Other theory.
Oh, go on.
That movie wasn't originally meant to be set in the 2000s.
Oh.
Pray tell. I'll tell you why. The soundtrack, right? It's very weird.
They
make a whole thing of Toxic.
By Britney Spears,
Britney Spears, early 2000s. Okay, fair enough. The movie, like, then has, like, I think there's a Fleetwood Mac song in there. It ends on fucking Dreams by the Cranberries, which is, like, I'm like, do not remind me of better series such as Derry Girls whilst I'm watching this. Don't do that. I and then some of the costumes look a bit weird. I genuinely believe it was supposed to be set, like, earlier than the early 2000s.
Yes.
And then they just went, remember when we made money? Maybe we can make
good old days?
Remember the good old days of Fantastic Four: Rise of the Silver Surfer.
Oh,
remember the good old days of Daredevil.
That has bummed me out a little bit. That I'm like, well, this, if you were like younger than us, you'd seen this as like, oh, mad retro times when you know. I was like, that's when the first Spider-Man is set, and I don't feel that that's all that old a movie, but it really fucking is.
Remember when we were growing up and we would watch an 80s movie and it would be so cool and retro?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I realised the other day that when we have hypothetical kids, like, and it's time to watch Star Wars, let's say we do that at the age of 10, Star Wars will be 50 years old.
Yep.
The equivalent of our parents going, I've got this movie made at the same time as World War II. Would you like to watch it? Oh, God. Oh, no.
Oh, God.
I'd rather be talking about Star Wars. Anyway, she falls in the river. She can now see the future.
Yep.
Uncle Ben pulls her out.
Yep.
And she keeps having weird, like...
Web dreams.
She starts watching Christmas Carol, in case you weren't getting the metaphor and how the powers work. And
yes.
Just a fucking... It's the middle of July, by the way, and she's watching fucking Christmas Carol on her day off.
Whilst, like, doing really shit burns on Scrooge.
Yeah.
Like, really badly written, oh, Scrooge, if only you weren't such a fuckhead, or some shit like that. It doesn't matter what she actually said.
And she gets, like, time off work because she goes to a fire at a fireworks factory.
When are we going to get to the fireworks factory?
That's literally the plot of the film. I took a Simpsons meme and made it wish to be a real boy.
Did they make it a real boy?
So,
did they make this for us?
They may have done.
This is how we pay for our sins.
There's every chance. So she sees visions of her boss as a paramedic getting run over when he drives in his ambulance.
It's quite comedic at that point. She's going, ah, no, and that's, and then like a new way that he'll die, and then a different way that he'll die. Dude's gone die.
He didn't die. He gets absolute T-bone, and she gets time off because of the trauma.
Yep.
Goes to his funeral. Well, sorry, he's getting dressed for, I've got this out of time.
Yep.
Because I forgot.
Almost like this movie.
Yes. I say this again without hyperbole.
Yep.
Maybe I will change my mind and say this isn't the worst movie ever made.
Mm.
With a hand on my heart.
Yes.
The worst scene ever committed to film.
Oh, I remembered. Remember which one you're talking about now.
She's dragged to a baby shower.
Peter Parker's baby shower.
Peter Parker's baby shower.
Yep.
Very blatant Pepsi can, almost Wayne World level of...
Yeah, right.
Cool.
Why would we sell out like this?
The choice of a new generation. And she goes in and they're doing like fucking baby shower patter, I guess, and just talking about, oh, what are we going to do? Oh, what's the baby name going to be? Tell us a story about your mom.
Yeah, that line, I'm just like,
oh!
Everybody trauma dump.
And it's them all 10 like little cute stories about the mom, and they get to Madam Web, and she just tells like a... like, it's played for laughs, but like, it's the least comedic delivery
It's like,
ever.
Oh, no, seen. My mom died before I was born in the Amazon while she was researching spiders with a psychopath who shot her in the back.
Well, also I was pregnant. Like, why was she even doing that? And everybody goes,
why would you be in there? Like, that's the tone she delivers a lot of her dialogue. It was just, why would you do that?
Like, you're so fucking aloof and above it all. And then they go around and name what's the baby going to be named. And you know what they're building towards. They're not being like, oh, should it be Paul? Or Penelope?
Should it be Pater? Should it be Pabita? Should it be Pasita? Should it be Pafita? I just can't get this second letter right.
And then a balloon pops just as she's about to say Peter, and fucking pop.
Yep.
And then that brings her out and going, wait, we've already done this. Why are we doing this? This is what I mean. She can't inflect in anything. Yep.
There is a room full of people like actively reacting to Dakota Johnson's acting abilities. They're all method acting and she isn't.
She goes home. And then she's going to the she doesn't want to go to the funeral of the man who got T-boned, but she's like convinced to do it.
With the world's worst voicemail message. Yep. She's got one friend in this movie, and it's Uncle Ben.
Yes.
And he literally like starts the fucking the message with, "Hi, it's me. Ben Parker, the guy you work with." And like, not meant to be like oh, it's me, ha 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 ha, playing it's like a, you don't hang out with anybody else. It's just, it's Ben Parker, by the way, just in case you've forgotten what Adam Scott sounds like.
So you haven't seen him for 30 seconds, you may have forgot. He's like, you need to come to this funeral.
It's Joey Adam.
Don't remind me of better times. So she's like, you need to go to this funeral. So she puts on the same outfit she thought was appropriate for a baby shower to go to a funeral.
Yep.
And this is when the plot, I guess, kicks in. She goes on this train.
Mm.
And yeah, the New York's a whole other level of crazy these days.
Oh, before this, I've just remembered the other thing.
Go on.
Who flips off an ambulance?
Oh, yeah.
Gosh. They went out of their way to tell you that she ad-libbed that line. Yeah.
Fucking.
Yeah. Like, the acting genius to say, who flips off an ambulance?
My God, you should have been in, like, the fucking Chicago improv scene. Yeah. My God, you've got some chops.
Welcome back to Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Dakota Johnson. I can't think of anything else.
When the powers are made up and plot don't matter. There we go.
She gets on the train, right? And we basically, New York's a whole different kind of crazy. Is this the right train? Mm. New York's a whole different type of crazy. Is this the right train?
Mm.
And then the three, Sydney Sweeney, etc., get on the train, mm-hmm. and she has the vision of Ezekiel Sims killing them all.
Yes.
And she goes, you've got to get off this train.
Everybody get off the train. Come this is on. An emergency.
Oh, my God. We have to go now. And they get off. Why are we running? Because of that. And Ezekiel seems to have changed into his jet. CW presents the Spider-Man fucking thing. And
doing the world's slowest crawl across right? the ceiling.
And then all of a sudden, police officers turn up because Sydney Sweeney shouts that they're being kidnapped.
Yep.
And Ezekiel seems very quickly and efficiently takes out these police officers.
Sorry, the dog is snoring.
That's fair enough.
Like, yeah, I get it.
Like, but Ezekiel Sims basically goes in a perimeter around the police officers, ignoring the three people, the only three people he needs to kill, who are just normal teenagers at this point.
Yep.
Again, speaking to the kind of callous nature which...
I mean, it's excellent that he actually finally figured out what they look like from that groundbreaking...
Oh,
a groundbreaking technology.
So there's like his helper woman puts like a photo fit of the visions they look like in their costumes. Yep. I'm going to de-age some 10 years.
When I tell you that this makes young Professor X from X-Men Origins Wolverine look like a stunning effect, literally pulling the fucking skin back.
Nothing changes!
Hello, adults!
Nothing changes! The costumes come off and they look the exact same fucking way they do!
What I don't get is, like, here's the mock-up we've got from your dreams.
Yeah, we can do that now. That's a thing that is possible.
When the movie's set, when everyone was like, this movie has been written by ChatGPT, that's the one bit where I'm like,
I'm almost,
straight up.
I'm like 50% convinced like this is an AI one. Because they've just got to keep making movies to keep the license, right?
Yep.
There has to be a new Spider-Man in production at all times. Now, they already have two more this year.
Mm. I was going to save that for like the hour mark and go, just to remind you, we have to do this dance twice more.
This was, I cannot fathom Kraven the Hunter and Venom 3 being worse than this.
No. The only way is up.
Boo! Baby! Woo!
We're having a time. We're having a moment.
I really want to get to the more juicy stuff. So I'm just, right. They haven't found the train. They escape. They steal a taxi that they keep for the majority of the movie.
Yep. Well, the world's worst decision on the taxi is made to remove the number plates and then continue driving it around New York City.
You're in New York! You're blended anyway! We're taking the license plates off. It's more weird.
It's the one way to stand out in New York. Like, huh, that one taxi doesn't have any license plates.
Never gets picked up, by the way. There's still two cars in this movie and it never gets picked up.
Yep.
So she makes it all the way... They make it to this diner and we're going to lay low here. But the kids are like...
No, it's the woods first. Okay, she just goes like, get in the woods, girls.
Stay in the woods. I'll be back later because I have to go read my mom's spider diary.
Here's a bag of tricks or whatever the fuck.
I can't remember how they got to... The answers may lie in the spider diary.
No, but well, they didn't. That's the thing. Like, when she's reading the spider diary at the start of the movie, you're like, why is this the time you've chosen to read the spider diary? Even less so now.
They go to a diner.
Oh, and they do the fucking...
They dance to Toxic on the...
No. Like, the world's worst line. Who was that guy? He was crawling on the ceiling like some kind of spider person. We don't have the rights to say Peter. We don't have the rights to say Spider-Man. We don't have the rights to say Aunt May. How did we get away with Uncle Ben? Did everybody think they were going on about rice?
He's not an uncle, though.
No,
he's just
Ben Parker.
He's a man called Ben Parker. If you were to infer that he's Uncle Ben, that's on you. That's not on us. That's on you.
It's like, you know who actually wrote this movie? It's not a ChatGPT. It's no. Lionel Hutz. Uncle Ben. It's like, Uncle? Question mark.
Yeah.
Ben!
I finally got where you were going with
yep,
that girl.
Yeah.
They dance in a bar. Ezekiel seems to find them. They all get murdered. She has a vision going, I need to save them. So her plan is to hit him with a car. He's one weakness.
Yeah. This Ezekiel Sims' one weakness in this movie is cars. He continuously gets his shit rocked by cars.
I am speeding up because I need to get to my favourite bit of the movie.
Okay.
We drive to a motel. She goes, you have to stay here. I need to go to
Peru.
Now. I have to go now. My Peru needs me. Not explained.
Nope.
How a wanted felon, wanted for kidnapping three teenage girls, is able to
make
board a plane to Peru.
Yes, eh?
And gets there relatively quickly. It's not like she walks there.
And somehow, on a small paper map that you could convince me was otherwise like, welcome to Disney World.
That's the entirety of Peru. And she goes, ah.
yes, that specific clearing near a lake.
So, goes to see the spider people.
Once again, boom, boom. The dog is looking at me very confused. I'm as confused
as you. Dog's looking at you like you need help.
That would have only improved this.
I can only imagine. That's the only way to do it. The poor lad. And I did tell him about the podcast. Mm. So if you're listening, thank you very much for giving me the conversation you did. But he was like, I'm a big Spider-Man fan. It was all right, but I think they rushed it and did all this stuff. My brother in Christ, I need you to watch more films because if you've only seen Spider-Man movies, even by that standard, you must know this is bad. But
you still know this is bottom of the shuffle.
Yeah.
Even taking into account The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Yeah, right.
I can't believe I'm praising The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
I'm sorry, Amazing Spider-Man 2.
I didn't know how bad
Perhaps
it could get.
Perhaps we judged you too harshly.
You did. Andrew Garfield and Emma Stone, like... You look back on it and you go, well, actually, they did have a good thing that they just kind of fumbled.
Good chemistry. Like, I mean, not great villains, but no. Like, at least
some
ones,
villains.
At least ones I actually give a shit about.
Yeah.
Not Madam fucking Web. A deep cut character only kids who watch the 90s cartoon shows give a single solitary shit about.
Yep.
Anyway, we go and see the spider tribe and they just, like, right.
Get in the water.
It's time for my favourite line.
Yep.
We go on a vision quest in the water.
Yes.
And it explains, because she's never known why she was in the Amazon, why her mom was in the Amazon pregnant.
Researching spiders just before she died.
Obviously.
Obviously.
Turns out that Madam Webb, the doctor tells, like, your daughter is going to have, and I've written it down for accuracy, a neuromuscular disorder. Mm. She won't be able to walk, she won't be able to grow up properly. Because Dakota Johnson... generating every like fibre of her acting powers to go, and this is verbatim, but I don't have a neuromuscular disorder.
As she stood in this dream sequence room, a figure that she's never, ever had the chance to interact with died at the moment of her birth. But how can I make this about me?
And this is the point at which I finally snapped
yep.
and just sunk into the sweet arms of hysteria. Because I laughed so loud at that point, I genuinely felt rude. Because no one else was reacting like we were.
No, it was at that point we truly ruined four other people's nights.
I'm sorry, I really am, but I proper... oh my God! Right.
I wonder whether those two women down the front thought that we were just like having a conversation throughout the entire thing. And the reason we were laughing was because we were just discussing something else.
Yeah.
Maybe watching another better movie on our
phones. Yeah. There was the two people at the front who did genuinely leave about 20 minutes before the end.
Yep.
Up, left, didn't come back.
5 minutes prior to that, dude was on his phone. I was watching what was going on his phone.
Much more interesting than this.
It was.
So... I'm skipping bits just because I need to get to my next bullet point. What is Peter Parker's mom's name? I actually can't remember.
Oh, shit.
Is it Mary Parker?
Is it? I'm going to double check. I've got it
Please
open.
Please do. Played by...
it is Mary. Yeah, Emma Roberts.
Emma Roberts.
Mary.
She goes... whilst she's harbouring the kids with Ben, but Mary goes into labour. And they have to rush off to go to the hospital. And that's when they get picked up on
camera. Oh my God, one of my favourite shots of the whole movie.
Madam Webb turns up.
She's back from Peru. Has managed to get through TSA twice.
Twice.
In an unmarked fucking car.
And this is when we get to maybe one of the best sentences I've ever written. Pissy puddle premonitions. She looks at a puddle on the floor and knows. No matter where Pear was, knows.
Piss, everything's going wrong.
That's someone's water's broken. Mary must have gone to labour. I must follow.
Clearly, that's where three of the girls that I've stashed with my friend whilst I fucked off to Peru for a hot minute were.
Yep. So we're in.
What the fuck?
We're into the end game now. So they're on a mad dash across the city to get Mary Parker to hospital.
Post-pissy puddle.
We now live in a post-pissy puddle world. And Ezekiel seems to have found them and he's chasing them, and Madame Web has figured this out, right?
Mm.
She's got... There's a big old car crash. Ezekiel seems coming towards them. And then Madame Web drives...
Hits him with another car.
Hits him with an it is a car. Yeah. Hits him with a car. Probably the taxi.
Stationary car. Does she fling him off the ambulance?
She jumps out of a parking garage
mm.
through a very famous Calvin Klein's advert that featured Arsenal footballer Freddie Ljungberg.
2000.
Mad that I noticed his cock and balls and went, that's Freddie Ljungberg.
And that's how you yep. knew.
Through the thing and hits Ezekiel Sims with his car and fucks him up, right? How she managed to drive the car through a hard-ass concrete barrier and an advertising board to fucking...
And survive.
Dead-eye. Yeah, she's fine. And then they get in the ambulance, right? Mm. And they drive off in the ambulance. This is the one maybe inventive bit of the whole film, is that she tells fucking Dora the Explorer, you charge up the paddles, and when he hits the roof with my premonitions, you skadoomph and we'll electrocute him.
Yeah.
It is a mild inconvenience to Ezekiel Simpson.
Yeah, he does fall into another car.
Yes.
His one weakness.
He's terrible. He's having terrible luck these days on the roads. So we are finally getting to the fireworks factory.
What the fuck was this? I don't
know.
Like, we memed this because, like, it's the Simpsons quote that we love.
Yes.
And for some reason, that was the plot. Get to the fireworks factory, blow up the fireworks factory
that no one, even though it had a fire at it, has bothered to board up or put security guards on it. No, it's just open freelance. And I'm sure in New York, you know, they wouldn't get nicked immediately. No. They're very law-abiding people in New York.
Absolutely.
And don't you know, all ambulances in America carry both flare guns and smoke grenades.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Did you also know, Darren, that there is a particular fireworks factory in America that manufactures what can only be described as weapons-grade fireworks? And the fuse times on these fucking fireworks, they range drastically from, like, delayed 1 minute eventual sucker punch to immediate fire.
Yes, yeah.
All the way up to, this shit can punch through a solid brick wall.
Now, there was a very famous, like, explosion at a fireworks factory once. I think it was in, like...
Nothing to see here, folks.
Oh,
if Frank Drebin would have been in this.
I think it's, like, it's an Eastern Bloc country. It might be like Armenia or Lebanon or something like that. But yeah, fireworks factory goes up and it is like fucking...
The greatest thing you've ever seen.
Oh, yeah. So fair enough. But yeah, these are all going off at very convenient times.
Mm.
And this is where Madame Web kind of starts to weaponize her powers of like blocking stuff. So she just grabs a piece of metal and a firework hitting a piece of metal that you're holding.
Yeah, still gonna be warm.
I mean, she can't emote anyway. Her arm's going to be blown off real by a shotgun. She goes, oh, wow. Oh, my God. So
the only superhero's catchphrase is, can you not?
That is the most perfect encapsulation of Madame Web I think I've heard. Yeah. So right at the end.
Yep.
So Sydney Sweeney is about to fall off a thing. The other two are fucked as well, and Ezekiel goes, you can't save all three of them. Out of absolutely nowhere. And I read, because there was a thing that was doing the rounds of like, these are five things about Madame Web, I've only made up one of them. And the one I picked out was, Madame Web splits into three smokescreen versions of herself in order to save everyone at the end. And I was like, well, that's not Madame, she can't do that.
She can't do that.
Nope.
that is what happens.
For completely unexplored reasons, she just can split herself into smoke versions of herself to save Sydney Sweeney and the other two.
Because of the power of webs and Pepsi Cola.
Oh, yeah, a big Pepsi. Oh, the whole way through the movie.
It's like, you know, like, so, interesting fact. The guy who wrote this also wrote Morbius and the Power Rangers movie.
Right.
Like, the 2016 Power Rangers movie. Which also, funnily enough, had a big brand at the centre of its final action scene.
Oh, yeah.
The guy can't even write an original train wreck.
No.
He has to rip off his slightly better movie.
Keep doing it. Early in the premonition, the S on the Pepsi Cola sign
that's flashing red.
It's flashing red, comes to in a vision.
Yep.
And I thought, well, that's the thing that's going to kill Ezekiel Sims. So, of course, obviously, he's crushed by the massive letter P.
He can't even be consistent.
She falls into the water. The S lands in front of her for no apparent reason because her name doesn't have the letter S in it.
Ah, yes. Saddam Webb. And technically, there's two S's in Cassie. I don't know.
Maybe. So,
it's a bit of a fucking stretch.
So at this point, it's Madam Webb in name only. In fact, she's never called Madam Webb.
No.
But Madam Webb, as I remember from the 90s cartoon,
is
an old-ass white woman who's blind and paralysed, who can just see the future and is all that jazz.
Yes.
This movie, she's just Dakota Johnson.
Yep.
Finally, she gets shot in the face by firework.
Revenge of the fireworks factory.
Leaves the rest of her face alone, but instantly blinds her.
Yeah. Only her eyes. Somehow, through her eyelids.
Yes, somehow.
And doesn't leave horrific Simon Western-style scars on her fucking face.
Nope, just the eyes.
Yep.
They pull her out the water and, like, fade to black, basically. Mm. And this is why I can't hate this scene. Me and you left this screen howling with laughter. Both in fits of hysterics.
Yep.
Because the ending. She turns around. So they go back to, like, it's like we're going back to Madam Webb's apartment, right? Yep. Yep. Peter Parker's been born, but we don't say the word Peter.
Yep.
And we go back to the apartment, right? And the three girls have brought Chinese food.
Yeah, because they're all living with Madam Webb now.
Apparently.
For some reason.
She's staring out the window and she's in a wheelchair, right? And she turns it round.
A wheelchair that she appears to have just been jerry-rigged on.
It's
a very thin powered wheelchair that's just like elevating her entire presence. What made her like physically disabled? A firework to the face won't do that.
She didn't hit anything on the way down. She just hit the water.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. But she's got like cool sunglasses. They're not cool.
Yeah, the John Lennon version of Madam Webb.
Yeah, yeah. She's got them on. Like mid-2000s, like you would have got them from a Poundland, like sunglasses on.
Yep.
And she's like, everything is fine. And this is my family now. And she turns around, and the final line is something like, that's the thing about life, it's always changing.
Oh, no, that's the great thing about the future. It hasn't happened yet.
That's it. And,
then
she's doing all of this with the physical charisma of Stephen Hawking. And it's just so, the big thing is her, and I something about Dakota Johnson turning round and just staring blankly out the window cracked me. Something
just
inside.
Like that.
The most blank face that even Dakota Johnson is capable of pulling.
Yep. Also, the significance of her staring at a window post-blinding. He's lost on me, I'll be honest with you.
But she just... Something... It just, do you know when you hit like a pane of glass and there's that perfect shatter happens?
Yeah.
Like when the pigeon hit the glass. That happened to my
brain. We didn't talk about the pigeon.
The pigeon of life and destiny.
Yeah. Sorry. This is my actual favourite line of the movie. So... We're winding back about an hour right now before we get to the finale and your big go-home visual. So she still doesn't quite realise how her powers work at this point.
No one does.
A pigeon hits the window and it dies and she's sad. And then, like, all of a sudden she blinks and is like, where'd the pigeon go? Opens the window and then I go, it'd be funny if the pigeon just hit her in the face.
Yeah, that would
the pigeon hits her in the face. But then the pigeon, like, does a lap around her apartment and flies out. And at this point, you expect it to be like, This is my... I can rewind time. And she just goes, I guess the pigeon didn't die. You dense motherfucker. That's when, like... You held on to your sanity longer than I did.
No, I think neuromuscular disease, like, that was the chip.
But I don't have a neuromuscular disease.
That broke me. And then...
But your go-home visual... you get your next 10 seconds of the Spider Women beating up people.
Generic bad guys. And it cuts to the finals. And for some fucking reason, Madame Webb is wearing Bret Hart sunglasses. And he's just floating in the background behind her. I just thought she's going to ring.
They really could have this could have been the noise. Just, why not? It's a great thing about the future. It hasn't happened yet. She looks fucking ridiculous.
The blandest there is, the blandest there was, and the blandest there ever will be. So
it's not bland though, because like it's abjectly awfully made. We need to name and shame the true hero stroke villain of the piece.
There was a sentence I said to you when I was in the depth before I'd really embraced what was happening and just chose to enjoy it. Where I looked at you and went, I didn't make time to watch Oppenheimer in the cinema.
Yep.
And yet,
here I am.
I made time to watch Madame Webb in the cinema.
We didn't walk out and go to a restaurant. We didn't go walk out and go to a pub. We didn't walk out and off ourselves in the parking lot. We went out after having witnessed every last second of Madame Webb.
Howling with laughter. Like, we must have looked like crackheads. Like,
honestly, people must have thought there was something up with us.
I had to crouch down at one point because I was losing the function of my legs. And, like, do you know who I feel bad for?
You?
No, not me. Not me. Scientists. They spent millions of pounds on this.
Where is this
going? I'm sure cancer researchers could have used that money for a slightly better cause. We could have looked at curing some diseases. Like, that would have been better. But no, you don't get that. You don't get Dread 2. You don't get a follow-up to Dungeons & Dragons. You don't get your Channing Tatum Gambit movie. No, you get Madame Webb. It's the world you live in.
You know what's the most depressing thing about Madame Webb? You know, hey, we were just reviewing Dungeons & Dragons, which is actually a really good example of, like, it lost $100 million. Oh. It was so immensely not profitable.
Yeah.
The budget of Madame Webb, $80 million. Its current box office, $91.9 million.
It won't break even. It needs to at least double the budget to break even, so... There we are. That's and Dakota Johnson's already gone, I'm not doing another one. Sydney Sweeney's openly fucking taking the piss out of him.
Yeah. Oh, it was a great line from her on Saturday Night Live, being like, "Oh, you may have seen me in Schnur. You won't have seen me in Madame Webb." The cast fucking hate that this is on their resume.
Everyone hates this. It wasn't made for anybody. No one enjoyed watching it. No one enjoyed making it.
It's the only time in history I'm likely to say this until we're sat here reviewing it. I bet you the Aunt May movie would have been better.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, it's got a good chance of at least not being worse. I'll give it that. Yeah. Good. Probably not. But, well.
Yeah.
I told you it was going to be a worldie.
It is.
Do you want to name and shame anybody?
We need to name and shame quite a few people. The director, S.J. Clarkson, who was previously responsible for...
Oh, I've seen this. It's bad.
No other movies than Madame Webb.
Oh, it's the writer I'm thinking of.
Yeah,
the
writers are bad. But this guy has only previously directed... Okay, here's a fucking resume for you.
Go on.
Doctors, the one that shot in Birmingham.
Oh.
Casualty, EastEnders, Footballers' Wives, Bad Girls, 6 episodes of Life on Mars, which I remember enjoying, Ugly Betty, an episode of House, at Bates Motel, which I've heard was actually terrible, a single episode of Orange is the New Black, 2 episodes of Jessica Jones, and 2 episodes of The Defenders.
And then this.
But the real, what do you call them? They're not heroes, they're not villains. The award for I didn't think it could be worse than the epic movie guy's resume goes to Matt Sazama and Burke Sharpless.
His name's not Burke Sharpless.
His name is Burke Sharpless. A name never more fitting. Burke Sharpless. The writing duo that brought you such turds as Dracula Untold, The Last Witch Hunter, Gods of Egypt, Power Rangers, which I've already mentioned, and Morbius.
how are we not employed? I feel like, how do they keep getting jobs?
We give you gold on our pitches. Like, we've willed excellent products into existence. Burke Sharpless.
What fucking, like...
I said that with all the vigour of, like, Zack Sabre Jr., like, shouting at Boris Johnson.
Burke Sharpless!
Burke Sharpless!
How they keep getting, like, they must have, like, black tar heroin levels blackmail on somebody.
Or black tar heroin. Or they're freely available. They just, they can't keep getting away with it.
It's the worst movie ever made. It's the worst movie I've ever seen. But I had a wonderful time. And I told you.
Yep.
This was going to be a worldie of a podcast.
Yep.
I think we've lived up to that.
I think we have.
Would you like me to just give it that little extra oomph over the top?
Is it going
to
be better than Burke Sharpless?
I think it probably is. Are you ready?
Go on. I forgot about that.
No, that's not a picture from Madam Web.
Oh, that's not a... No! No! You did it on the Madam Web!
On the Madam Web podcast! We're pregnant!
Oh my shit! I gotta...
Go ahead.
Yep. Fucking hell. You actual wanker.
Mate, I was taking no chances. I told people... This is going to be the greatest podcast we ever recorded.
Oh my fucking God.
And I've been waiting 2 weeks to tell you.
Oh my God.
Me and Rachel are having a baby.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I don't know. I've literally been being like, you're going to do this to me at some point. You're going to do this. You did it on Madam Web.
I did.
You spun this pregnancy
announcement.
Well, I was
going to put it in the Iron Claw, wasn't I? I thought it was going to be the Oscars podcast. Yeah. You'd have a whole thing of you.
And then just you.
And then I'd steal your funds after 2.5 hours.
Instead, you've made this the best podcast, literal best episode we'll ever record. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Yes, I've been looking forward to this like you wouldn't believe.
Do you know what you're having?
No, we don't. Mm. We will find that out in a little bit of an April. This is a very well zoomed in photo of a 12-week scan.
I genuinely thought you were referring to that scene in Madam Web where they have an ultra scan in Madam Web.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we glossed over it because nothing that interesting happened. No. And I was like, oh, are you literally going to be like, you've remembered a line of dialogue and then I didn't. That he's going to be hysterical. No.
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 That's why I saved it for the end.
You.
All day at work, I've been fucking giddy. I'm like, it's happening. I'm entombing his reaction for all of time for prosperity. And I'm doing it in the Madam Web episode.
I hope my face is a picture because this is an audio podcast.
I hope so. Oh, mate.
You never get to do that twice. Like,
no.
Like, that's it now. That's on record.
My only, like, hope. I know you, like, kids are far away off for you. But yeah. A little bit of me was like, imagine. Because you were saying, like, time is, you know, it was short and stuff. I was like,
yep.
Imagine if we've both set up to do the same thing on the
that
same
would have been
podcast.
The funniest goddamn
thing.
Because
I know, for comedic reasons, you would have let me sit back down
yep.
and then an
extra. Yeah. Absolutely, I would have. I wished I had the brass balls.
Yeah. So this is why, like, podcasts will still be going, but yep. My amount of time to watch films
yes.
is decreasing exponentially towards August,
yes.
and then will probably not happen.
Yep.
So we're going to have some discussions off air about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no
but
kidding.
I don't know when I'm going to find Dune 2 time because I haven't found Dune 1 time because I've got to like build stuff and paint stuff and fix lights and do all that jazz.
Shit. I genuinely thought you were going to move house. Oh, shit.
We thought about that, but no.
No.
We found it just before New Year.
No.
And I'm going to tell you off air.
You've
but...
held on to this
yes.
since December.
I'm going to tell you the story of how it became the
not
worst
the conception.
Kept... No,
not Jesus.
No. Became the worst kept secret in history,
right.
despite my best efforts.
Despite the fact that you've completely blindsided me.
Yes.
Well done.
Yes. There were some people I was like, no. Until we absolutely have to, because I'm a diva.
Yeah.
All I've been doing all week is going to places and telling people.
No way.
Old work colleagues were last night. Godson's father was, and Godson, I guess, was on Saturday. I'm telling people on Saturday. Saturday coming. I'm telling people the week after that.
But you haven't recorded their responses.
No, I haven't.
I am very happy for you. Thanks, I've known babe. You've wanted this for a long time. I vaguely remember. I don't even know what you're going to... I don't even have to ask what you're going to call the child. Because I know roughly the name. Are you fulfilling a lifelong prophecy?
Right, I'll tell you now.
Yeah?
My hope is... I don't think this is going to happen.
No.
If all goes to... If I have my way...
Yep.
We will assemble a list of 64 boys' names and 64 girls' names.
And you're going
to
do...
A single elimination tournament to decide the winner. We will eliminate half the bracket before we even start, once we find out what it's going to be. And then, yeah, at least get down to a final eight for the first name and then go with that.
I genuinely thought you were just going to do as many computer characters on Smash Brothers and just let them fight
just
it out.
Oh, that's not a bad show, you know. Just that's leaving it up to the hands of fate. No, we have a spreadsheet. The only one
of
I'm...
Of course you do.
The middle name is where the action is because Xavier keeps being deleted and I keep adding it right the fuck back. I'm like, no.
Just so that their middle initial can be X.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Plug away, Michael.
How am I going to top that? Dickhead. Fuck.
Okay. This could not have gone better.
It really couldn't have. That was incredible.
This is absolutely perfect. Okay.
You can go and find me on Twitter, Instagram, and whatever the fuck else I'm on. That might
who
go
gives
in.
A shit?
You can go and find Darren, father to be Darren, on Twitter, Instagram, on the Guttridge.
Yeah.
Are you going to be. Okay, I'm going to break in tradition. Are you going to be one of these parents that's like, they will never be on social media?
Oh, yeah, pretty much.
Like, that's smart. Yeah. That's absolutely smart.
I'm like in favour of that, Rachel. Really in favour of that.
Okay,
so
that's good.
We will not. If you want to come see what the kid looks like, you're going to have to come and see me.
Yes.
So, yeah, that you won't know what that kid looks like if I can help. Not because I'm worried about what
me
they're
personally
look like.
Or anybody. Is it going to be like veiled like Michael Jackson's kid when I turn up?
I'll put the luch mask on. That's what it's there for.
Like, you've been working, like, all of the children that surround you in your life, you've been influencing them. So, like, you've got one that's mad into Harry Potter, you've got some that are mad into Spider-Man.
Yes.
Of course your child is going to be the one that, like, is going to be mad into wrestling. It's going to happen,
that,
right?
Genuinely, that was the hope of, like, if nothing else, if they're finally my little wrestling buddy.
If they're a boy, I'm thinking either Brian or Danielson.
Well, they're being born in the year of the dragon, and he's the American dragon. However, it does appear that baby has cost me my seat at Wembley because it's a week before the due date, and the scuttlebutt is Brian Danielson will be retiring at Wembley. It's the best possible excuse, but Rachel literally had to take the decision out of my hands because I was like... conflicted. I'm like, but if I got the text, I could probably make it back in like 2 hours.
Jesus Christ,
and then she
Darren.
Went, Darren, I love you very much and I can see that you're conflicted. So I'm making the decision for you. You're not going to Wembley. And I went, oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for
someone
doing
had
that.
To do it.
Because I couldn't do it. I was like, yeah, Brian Gertrude. her uncle, whatever it's going to be, would be called Dan. So that's it. But yeah. I was like, come on. You're the dragon. At least have dragon as a middle name. Come on. Come on.
Yes. This, I don't know why I thought you'd call him Alan. I couldn't think it was Alan Grant. This is Alan Dragon Guttridge.
Can I tell you, at one point, there was a consideration for Grant Alan Guttridge.
Of course. Of course.
I was like, no, the only Grant I've ever known was a right square. So I was like, no. Not all of my names are references to other things.
That's a
Some
shame.
Of them are. But not all of them.
Shigeru is still on the table. You can go and follow the site on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, whatever the fuck we're on. Foulent, that's Foulent. Find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud. For more baby updates, you can go and find us on Amazon Music or whatever the fuck it is. Foulent, that's Foulent. Podcasts, depending on the service you're using, is going to be one or the other. I can't even get through my...
No, it's fine enough. I'm going to leave you a little tidbit.
Yep.
I've struck a deal.
Yes.
That I've made abundantly clear. I was like, I see that cinema time is going to drop dramatically for good reason.
Yes.
There are three things I will not compromise on. These are my terms and conditions.
Okay.
Marvel, opening week.
Yes.
Star Wars, opening weekend.
Yes.
Jurassic Park, opening day.
Yeah.
And I got a handshake on that one. That sounds perfectly reasonable. That sounds good.
There you go.
Annoyingly, none of them are coming out this year when I have the time. They're all coming out next fucking year when I don't.
Actually, yeah, that's right.
There's Star Wars, there's several Marvel, and there's... Well, actually, now Star Wars is a bit
Literally got Deadpool and Wolverine this year.
Yeah.
And that's it.
It's a good year in that respect, in that I don't really feel like... I mean, if I get around to watching Ghostbusters and Kong, I feel like I'm all right, and Deadpool as well.
You'd have done very well, given the circumstances.
Yeah, but I was like, there's nothing in the back half of this year.
Literally, our entire childhood friend group, bar me.
Bar you!
are having children this year.
This may already come out by the time one of them, or both of them, have put in an appearance.
We need to put... Have you seen like those hysterical family photos where it's like it's like a family of like sisters, and it's like sister, husband, baby.
Yes.
Sister, husband, baby. Sister, husband, baby. Sister, cat. Like, that's
sister,
me.
Husband, jet ski!
Sister, husband, tickets to Japan. So, like, oh, man. Oh my god, that's a thing that we've committed to recording.
And this is my favourite thing, is that now forever and ever, this will be my favourite podcast we've ever done. And I did that for Motherfucking This is why I can't hate it.
Yep.
It's going to have such a positive like connotation in my mind, even though, again, it is the worst movie I've ever seen. Do go listen to a review of The Iron Claw. I'll level with you. I don't know where the next episode's going to be, but we will cross that bridge when we get to it.
Oh my god. Well, I can't top this. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
You fucking prick.